Hello? Hello? Okay, here we go. Sound check on schedule. Looking good. The year is Juan. Year Juan, February 23rd, I believe. At recording, we'll see when we post this. Hopefully soon. So, we got another edition of the Audio Development Journal. I think we're going to call this one Creating Balance in the Universe. Root and the Cloud Chain Network make the perfect couple. Okay? I am outside. Could get a bit windy. Such is life. Deal with it. So, here's the deal, right? I've been doing a bit more thinking, right? Be afraid. Be very afraid. And I have come to what I think could be a big breakthrough in thinking and how we go about things, right? And this is sort of going to be a continuation of the last audio development journal with a fresher look. Having contemplated this stuff a bit more deeply. Been trying to look at things real honestly, I think would be the right word, in the sense of what do we need, why do we need it, and what's really necessary, what functions does each aspect or what functions does each thing serve? And is it worth its weight, so to speak, right? As my man Bruce Lee likes to say, can be real easy to be flashy and cocky and some real fancy movement, but to be truly honest with yourself, that, my friend, that is very hard to do. So we're going to try and be real honest with ourselves in our thinking and real deep about it, right? And I'll tell you what I mean by this. So let's dive in, right? So in the last ADJ, we touched a bit on how we have these Bitcoin and Litecoin occurrence proofs and, why are timestamps reliable in the Bitcoin network? How reliable will they be in the cloud chain network and on the cloud chain? And why it's important for blockchains, for cloud chains and any blockchain to have fairly reliable timestamps and how those could be used to game certain things if you can get away with not having reliable timestamps. And we spoke about how, this potential of solely using cloud chain timestamps for our TSN references, within identity blocks. And we spoke about how you could officially propose cloud chain blocks, identity blocks through the cloud chain with this concept of root in an actual cloud chain transaction, and how this would have these good characteristics of non-repudiation and probabilistic solidity in that once it's confirmed, it's confirmed, and then it gets, I believe it's probabilistically more, buried under work and ensured immutably in time, right? And so how you could use that cloud chain transaction as the official time in which an identity block is proposed, and thus sort of clean up this process of how cloud chain miners know when they should officially or when they have to officially update their, cloud-based transaction to show the block hash of the identity block and how they will all know when they must do this and, enforce this new consensus rule on the network, which, if it is not followed, will result in your cloud chain block being rejected, right? And so we spoke about how, reiterating on that, the 6-block differential rule would just be much cleaner if it was based on cloud chain blocks as opposed to some parent blockchain or any other blockchain, right? And we spoke about why timestamps are reliable on the Bitcoin network and how that was accomplished through this median past time rule and future block time rule, which keeps timestamps in balance, but and this ingenious rule ensures that. But of course, it's like any rule on the Bitcoin network or any blockchain, it depends upon the consensus of the network ensuring that the rules are followed. And obviously, there is a degree to which the more the network grows and becomes more decentralized and the more nodes are run, the harder it is to change those rules, right? And we spoke about how there's this sort of balance in design and, trade-offs of if cloud chain miners are going to have to validate another blockchain's time proofs, right? Timestamp proofs, they would have to potentially run a node of that. And so that could be a lot. It could be as many as 4 blockchains. So we also spoke about how that could be mitigated if you did need to have this validation by the cloud chain network. If you felt it was important enough, you could mitigate that by simply requiring that they could, not requiring, but enabling that they could just have a view of these blockchains in any form they choose. And, if their view is wrong, then they're the ones who suffer because their cloud chain block would be rejected. So in other words, they could essentially just have like a plugin of, a Bitcoin block explorer and a Litecoin block explorer, or some in between type of situation, right? Whether it would be, an SPV node or somewhere in between, right? And then we also, to sum it up, right, touched on how important is this aspect of having these occurrence proofs in and of itself of a different blockchain that we'd have to try and incorporate these other blockchains. Like, is the juice worth the squeeze, right, in terms of how important is it to have extremely reliable timestamps in your identity blocks, right? And so now we move forward with what I've been thinking about with regard to all of that and potentially a big breakthrough and a better way to think about it and how we could sort of make things much cleaner and implement things in a way in which it solves many problems at once and makes it cleaner. And so that's just sort of a way I generally like to think about things is, if we do it this way, what are the pros and cons? And, if we do it that way, what are the pros and cons? And trying to pick decisions that solve problems on many different fronts, sort of like in Bitcoin, right? That they try to do. And of course, we have the benefit of, they're operating this, now we got $1 trillion blockchain in real time. And so they have to operate this flight and change the engine in real time. We have the benefit of doing this you know, before we get things started, and obviously the stakes are much lower even when we do get things started, right? But we still want to do things in a way where we get it right at first, the best of our abilities, and mitigate any problems that will arise. So, long-winded summary, and now let's get into the good stuff, okay? Okay, now we're back inside, nice and warm. Started raining a bit there, so I had to pull an audible, right? So the good stuff, where were we? So here's the deal. Let me give you a flash of where we're going, and then I'll take you there. So I think I've figured out a way to basically eliminate the need to have a view of the Bitcoin and Litecoin blockchain for cloud chain miners. So they would only need to run these two nodes, the cloud chain node and the identity blockchain, leader follower blockchain database. And I've also probably eliminated the need to have an open timestamps existence proof, which we've been doing in the cloud-based references in our identity blocks, right? And I've cleaned up the process of the 6-block differential rule, and I've done all of this while making the timestamps of the cloud chain potentially even to start with, like when things first get started and there's not many people mining it, making the timestamps, ensuring that the timestamps are reliable for the cloud chain, on top of this, these two rules, these median past time and future block time rules. So this would be an additional mechanism which even further ensures that we have reliable cloud chain timestamps, even before the network starts to mature and get decentralized. So we'd be killing many birds with one stone, so to speak. And the reason it's possible is due to just a better, more honest way of looking at what's important, right? So before we get into the how I'm going to do this, it's important to understand, let's say, two main things. The first thing is asking the question, what are we trying to achieve with the historical record aspect of the Truth Social Network, right? We are trying to achieve what you might call pseudonymous identity-based proof of publication. So that's the first thing. Second thing that we need to understand in how we're going to go about this, or why we're able to go to fix these problems, is, or the second part of our understanding, right, is just a general concept that I'm sure is going to be applied to many things in the future, which is that game theory ensures that root and miners are incentivized to behave somewhat honestly, and they do this because the market values such. And so you have this dynamic already in Bitcoin. It's not always talked about explicitly, but some people probably have, but the market values consensus and following the rules, right? So, in other words, you could come up with these actually type hypotheticals. Well, what if Root tries to screw over the network by doing this? You know, all these types of what ifs. And the truth is that Root absolutely can fuck with the network. The network can try to fuck with him, but you're going to see that there's not much they could do with regard to what I'm talking about. But then they're destroying the value of their clout, which miners don't want to do, and Root certainly doesn't want to do. So we're going to go with the presumption that Root and the miners and the market all want to have the ability to create these historical records and all the other benefits that stem from this technology, and will value it as such and act accordingly. And those who don't will be penalized by the market for doing so. So to take it to an extreme, you know, I can just invent any type of blockchain with any type of rules and change the rules all I want and release it, and no one's going to value it. I can just pre-mine a blockchain today and take all the coins and say, well, you know, this is the world's money, use it, and, you know, I'm the king of the world, and how valuable is that going to be? And, you know, I'll do whatever I want. So, of course, that's always been true, is, you know, anyone can do anything, but the market's values, you know, this new type of consensus where the rules are followed. But let's get into the nitty-gritty. Well, now that we've understood these two things, right? So we know that, as always, miners are profit-oriented entities that do things that participate for a reason and are game theoretically aligned to such. And we know that Root, or anyone who's going to make an identity blockchain, is going to want their clout to be you know, valued, and they are going to follow the rules because they want to get all the benefits from making these historical records, right? And if they don't, it will be easily, you know, observed and treated as accordingly by the market. So given all the above, what you're going to see is that Root and the cloud chain network are going to provide these sort of checks and balances on each other, which harmoniously will bring about something beautiful. So we're going to get rid of the open timestamps existence proofs. And the reason why we're able to do that is because what I'm going to explain is going to make cloud chain timestamps themselves dependably reliable. So thus, when you're proposing an identity block as a root, given that it's accepted, this is the equivalent of an existence proof. So it's totally not necessary to use the Bitcoin blockchain to do this same thing. It's redundant, right? So, few changes here. First change is, instead of the open timestamp in your identity block's clout-based reference, you're still going to have a clout-based reference, which is the first reference of a block, right? But you're not going to be required to do an open timestamp. You are simply going to put the transaction ID of confirmed transaction of your previous proposed identity block. And so, you know, that is official after six blocks, right? Of cloud chain blocks. So you're going to put that transaction ID in your cloud-based reference. which serves exactly the same purpose, right? It proves that your identity block existed before a certain time. And again, that's going to work because you're going to be able to depend on the cloud chain timestamps, and here's why. And also a clarification of the last ADJ, something that was said. You're still going to have an identity block header. I had said you could kind of think of the proposing of it in a cloud chain transaction as the header, but those two things are both going to exist. So you're still going to have an identity block header, and it's going to have to reference the previous identity block hash. And it's still going to have a timestamp involving both Bitcoin and Litecoin, just the same way it always was. So check it. There's only going to be two timestamps in your identity block, which use Bitcoin and Litecoin, like we'll call it the old timestamp, and obviously it has your own timestamp as well as the third one. So there's only going to be two aspects. That's the cloud-based reference, which is now going to include the transaction ID of the previously accepted block within the cloud chain, but as every reference does, it needs a timestamp, which is going to be, in this case, a Bitcoin and Litecoin, an old timestamp, we'll call it. The other part that will have an old timestamp is the identity block header, which is going to have, as its head, the previous block hash, identity block hash, and an old timestamp. Now, all the references in between are going to have instead, this is a change, just occurrence proofs using your cloud chain. And you're not going to worry about whether they get forked off or not, and we'll get to that later. You're just going to put them. And the reason why we're going to be able to rely on cloud chain timestamps now is because there's going to be a rule for miners such that if they mine a cloud chain block, which includes a proposed identity block, right? And we spoke about how that works. Root updates the identity block chain, because he is the master of it, right? Which creates this temporary incongruence between the identity blockchain and the cloud chain until the identity block has been accepted, right? And that doesn't officially propose it though. He officially proposes it by doing this root, operator and transaction, which includes the block hash, right? Which is officially proposing it. And then obviously 6 blocks later, it's accepted by the cloud chain network. So what's going to happen here is cloud chain miners have to keep in mind this new rule, which I'm going to tell you. Their cloud chain blocks must always have a timestamp greater than the identity block header timestamp, okay? So this is kind of a big deal because this ensures that in addition to the median pass time rule and future block time rule, they also must have a timestamp that is more recent than the identity block header. So root is going to keep them in check because he doesn't want them gaming their timestamps, and which could mess with the cloud chain difficulty or other vulnerabilities, and such. So he's going to keep them in check by doing honest proofs of Bitcoin and Litecoin, but the ultimate timestamp that matters in your identity block header is your own timestamp, right? So that's what they're going to have a more recent cloud chain timestamp then. And so they never really know when you're going to propose an identity block. They know that, of course, that you have to follow this rule of, you know, the block time limit, as we spoke about, which could now just be based off of, could be based off of cloud chain blocks, right? So as a cloud chain miner, you are kept in check because you're kind of on your toes as to never knowing when officially Root is going to propose an identity block. And again, we're assuming Root is going to use honest Bitcoin and Litecoin timestamps. So you'd better be using honest timestamps in your cloud chain blocks yourself, because your block's going to be rejected if you happen to be mining a block where Root's transaction is introduced to the mempool, right? And now you could say, well, it's only going to depend on that block, right? But in general, you still have the other rules, and overall, everything is kept more honest, right? And so if everything's kept even more honest, can't be manipulated by, you know, dishonest miners, it also affects the median pastime rule. So you see how that reinforces things, right? So if cloud chain miners don't have to run Bitcoin and Litecoin node or have a view of that, that would obviously mean they're not checking the validity of those timestamps, yet they're going to be using the third aspect of that, which is your timestamp, to ensure that they are in compliance with this rule. So that brings up interesting questions of, well, why is Root going to follow the rules and with these Bitcoin and Litecoin occurrence proofs? And what are miners validating and checking from an identity block perspective? And how does this relate to the game theory of it all? So that's what we're going to be talking about in part 2. See you then.